Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. Podcasting is a growing industry, and it seems like every year more podcasts are popping up and more listeners are coming to listen to those podcasts. So, how exactly do you grow a podcast at a rapid pace? And that's going to be one of the things that we talk about during this episode. But we're also going to be talking about how to do all of this while spending time with family. Because if you have a really successful business that's growing really rapidly, but you're not able to spend time with people who matter to you in your life, like all the money in the world, like that doesn't make you happy. It's that sense of fulfillment and being able to spend time with the people who matter. So today's guest began podcasting in 2008. And formed the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network in 2010. Now, he is a full-time podcast consultant and producer with his company, Pro Podcast Solutions. The company offers a full suite of services to support new and existing podcasters with things like audio, show notes, custom art, and a whole lot more. He nearly went out of business in January 2015, but now has a rapidly growing company serving clients around the world while earning multiple 6 figures each year. Today's guest for episode 185 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Daryl Darnell. Daryl, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And 185, that's a huge number. So congratulations to you for reaching that milestone.
Thank you, Daryl. I do appreciate that. And we are heading towards episode 200. I mean, that's going to be a really exciting episode.
Yeah,
episode 185, I mean, that's like we're getting there. And like just like that, I do like the round numbers, but anyway, episode number, like, it doesn't matter what the number is. All that matters is giving value to every listener who tunes in for every episode. And I'd like to start with some backstory before we get deep into how to rapidly grow a podcast. So what first got you attracted to podcasting?
Yeah, so I first got attracted to podcasting on September 22nd, 2004, but that's not true. But on September 22nd, 2004, I discovered a TV show called Lost, and I watched the pilot episode. It blew my mind. I loved it so much. I wasn't really into television that much until Lost came along, and my wife and I watched the pilot. We loved it. We just dove off the deep end of trying to figure out what was going on. Talking with anybody that I could about the show, people at work or people online in chat rooms and forums and stuff. And in season 2 of Lost, podcasts started popping up covering the show. And in one of those chat rooms or forums, I don't recall which, somebody mentioned that there were podcasts about Lost. And so I went over to iTunes and I started looking and I found a few that I liked. And I started listening, and then I started calling into their podcast to give them my opinions on each episode as they aired. And then one podcast in particular, which was the Weekly Lost podcast with Cliff and Stephanie Ravenscraft. And they would play my feedback oftentimes. And I just kind of got into that community that they built around their podcast. So it all started with the TV show Lost for me.
That is a really interesting start. And normally with these types of things, you hear like someone gave it a try and they tinkered around with it, they liked it, but It's interesting how Lost attracted you to podcasting, and you may not have started like creating podcasts and helping people at that point, but you were experiencing firsthand as a listener and a very engaged listener at that. And now you've been able to help a lot of people through Pro Podcast Solutions. And with that in mind, I'm wondering, like, for a lot of podcasters, they want to rank high so they can get as many listeners as possible. So what are your tips for ranking high in a category?
Well, let me answer that by just first kind of starting what to avoid, because that's what I see more often than not. And I see, and I work with a lot of podcasters. We've now launched over 175 podcasts through Pro Podcast Solutions. And some of those are the Golden Spiral Media podcasts that we've done. Golden Spiral Media is my own podcast network. You mentioned it, where we cover, you know, I started listening to Lost, and then I started my own podcast network where we cover a lot of sci-fi and geeky film and TV projects. And so we've, through my own efforts with Golden Spiral Media and through Pro Podcast Solutions, we've launched over 175 podcasts. But what I see more times than not are people who have heard advice out there about how to get into new and noteworthy, or even you hear a lot about ratings and reviews to help your podcast get up ranked high in iTunes. And the fact is that all of that is a bunch of hogwash. It used to be that you could get into know and noteworthy, but people started gaming the system. They figured out how to do it. And then people, they would, you know, teach people, oh, all you have to do is get so many people to rate and review your podcast, and, you know, you'll get into the new and noteworthy. Or if you, you know, people would go over to Fiverr or hire people online, maybe overseas, to leave them ratings and reviews. It was all falsified information, but it got them high ranked and new and noteworthy. So several years ago, iTunes put a stop to that, and they froze new and noteworthy for most categories. And so if you go to new and noteworthy, you'll see most of those podcasts have been out for a long time, and they have, some of them haven't even released an episode for a long time because it's just frozen. So first, I just want to put that out there. If you're a prospective podcaster and you're following a strategy to get into new and noteworthy, whoever gave you that strategy isn't current on their information. And that's really, I'm talking 2 years or more out of date. But the other thing we hear is, you know, leave me a rating and review. And that also used to be a thing. There, you would, iTunes would kind of base your ranking. So just to be clear, there's two things in iTunes. There's the new and noteworthy, and then there's the rankings within each category, and even overall in iTunes. So you could go to, say, the business category, and you could see the most popular podcast, and they'll show you the top 200. And the way that for traditionally a lot of what people will tell you to get ranked in there is a rating, a review, and a subscription. And those, a subscription would count, kind of give you more cred, and then a review where you have to type out a review, that gives you a little bit less cred. And then just a rating where you have to click a 1 to 5 star, that gives you a little bit more cred. But all of those would compile together to help you get your ranking within iTunes. But the ratings and reviews, again, do not fall into that. They do not factor into your iTunes ranking. The only thing that factors into iTunes ranking is your subscribers. How many subscribers, and what has the action been on that over the last 24 hours? That's what iTunes looks at for their rankings. So if someone wants to get ranked in iTunes, then they need to look at their subscribers. But I also want to throw out a word of caution. I've seen some articles over the last 2 weeks from when we're recording this. We're recording this in late May, where some companies are going out there and saying that they can guarantee you to get ranked in iTunes, and they'll charge you a lot of money for that. What they're doing is they're paying people overseas, typically, to subscribe to your podcast, so that you'll get that, you know, that action that iTunes is looking for, and move you up through the ranks. And I would strongly caution anyone against using that. iTunes has been actively removing those podcasts from their directory that are guilty of doing that. They don't want that. That all that does is cheapen their ratings, their rankings rather, and it delegitimizes their entire catalog. So iTunes will not put up with that. Do it, you know, organically, do it legitimately through your building your own audience, but that subscribe button is what's going to factor into that.
And I mean, it is interesting to like hear how there are companies who say, okay, you buy a bunch of subscribers, we rank you higher, but of course iTunes is going to come after you. And sort of like how you hear a lot of people saying, pay this amount of money, you get a certain number of Twitter followers, you get a certain number of Facebook likes, you get a certain number of this. But typically, if it's something where you don't feel like you're earning it, you don't feel like you're growing the audience, earning the subscribers, then it's something you should not be doing. And any like companies like Apple, Google, social networks in general have really gotten good at seeing who's gaming their system. So it's better just play by the rules.
Yeah, I mean, what's the motivation and the benefit for going out there and buying those Twitter followers, as you said, or iTunes subscriptions? I mean, what does that earn you? It might earn you, I mean, so I'm guessing it's so people can go and say to an advertiser, look, we're a top 200 podcast. Well, okay, so if that's your motivation and that gets you a sponsor who's going to pay you money to advertise on your podcast, if those aren't legitimate numbers, if you don't have legitimate numbers to back up that ranking, then that relationship with that advertiser is going to be very short-lived, because they're looking at legitimate numbers behind that ranking in order to sell their product. You're going to run an ad, and because you've got an audience size that ranked you that high, they're expecting a certain amount of results from that ad, and you're not going to be able to deliver the results they're looking for because you have a straw man for an audience. And so you've burned that bridge with an advertiser because you didn't earn it. You don't have the audience to back you up. So it's really, if it's going to gain you anything, it's very short-lived and it's going to hurt you more in the long run.
And it's always better to focus on the long run than on the short run. Like, you do a lot of work in the short term to get the long-term benefit, and you still continue to put in the work, but it is good to have that long-term focus. And it's necessary for anyone in business to have that long-term focus, and that sense of focus is what eventually results in a rapidly growing business such as the one you have in Pro Podcast Solutions. And you're in a situation where you've got your podcast, you've got your business and trying to expand it, get more people. You also have to serve the existing clients. So I'm wondering, how exactly do you manage all the work with a rapidly growing business and growing it and serving your existing base?
Well, when I started the business, I left my corporate job back in 2013, May of 2013, to do podcast production full time. And at the time, my vision was really just to offer audio editing for podcasters. And then as I started working with more clients, then I learned more of their needs. And so, for example, some would say, hey, can you write show notes for me? Or do you offer transcription? I'm looking for someone to transcribe my podcast or my interview, and just different things like that. And so we've now rolled out this full suite of services, but I don't have the gifts and talents or the time to do all of those things. I am not a very skilled writer. It certainly isn't something that I enjoy. So, but even from day one, my business plan, my model was to scale the business by originally tapping into my strengths and talents, but then as the business grew, to bring in other folks to help carry the load and lend their own gifts and talents to what we do. And so that's how we scaled the business. And so now we've got a whole team of audio editors. We've got a team of writers. We've got project managers, artwork specialists. We've got a guy who does nothing but helps people get launched with their podcast, transcription, the whole thing. We've got people who handle each piece of that. And so that's how we handle the workload. And as our clientele list grows and we have more work, then we simply add more people to our team to handle that, because, you know, it's obviously more than one person could handle. But that was in my business plan from the very beginning.
And one of the things I like that you mentioned was that you mentioned having that team, and as like you could achieve a level of success on your own, but there's only so much we can do on our own. And then if you have a team behind you, there's just so much more you can do, especially as you continue to build upon that team. And we focused on a business standpoint, like how do we continue to manage the business when we have all these different things happening, but we all also have family. And I believe family should be the top priority, the people who are the closest to you. You don't want to grow a business and spend so much time on it that you can't be with the important people in your life. So with this rapidly growing business, how can we also make sure that we keep family as the priority?
Well, that comes down to how you're going to prioritize your life. And I'm not the best at it. I am certainly not the poster child for how to have a perfect family work balance. I think that there's still a lot for me to learn and put into action in my own life. But I, you know, since I started this own business and I work out of my home, I've got an office, a dedicated office space, a room here in my home. The beauty of that is, I mean, just for example, yesterday my son graduated eighth grade. So
congratulations.
And so I you know, it started at 10 o'clock. So I just left and went over to his school and watched his eighth grade graduation and was able to do that. I have the freedom to do that with my corporate job before. Yes, I could have done that too. I would have had to have gone to my boss and said, hey, I need to use half a day of vacation or a full day of vacation. Here's why. And, you know, it's that sort of thing. When my kids get home from school, but both of them walk in the door and they right now they go to one's in middle school, one's in high school. So they get home at different times. And so I just stop what I'm doing and I spend about 30 minutes, maybe an hour with each of them, depending on what all we need to talk about. You know, I want to know about their day and how they, what they're doing in their classes and, you know, just what life is like for them. So I would, and that's part of my routine. I think that's the one thing I do pretty a good job at is just stopping my day when they come home from school just to give them that those first few minutes. I mean, they may want to get a snack or something like that, of course, but I'm just saying before they do anything else, I stop my day and spend time with them. So, again, it just goes back to what we personally choose to prioritize. I think that as men, we love our work. We find our identity in our work. And for me, I love my work. I mean, I could spend all day, every day, and oftentimes I do 16 hours a day working. I love it. I find it very fulfilling and things like that. The danger of that is that we can let other things go, or we want to say, you know, when I get to a certain amount of income, then I'll be able to do XYZ with my family. And XYZ doesn't normally matter as much as time does. And time is free. We always have that. We all have the same amount of money. You know, the Bill Gates has as much time as you do. And that's our biggest asset and how we choose to spend that. Because my kid, like I said, one's in high school, one's in just about to start high school. They're going to be gone. We're going to have an empty nest in 4 years. And so how am I spending my time? So you just have to make a conscious decision to spend that time with family.
And I really like how you mentioned that it's a routine. And I feel like if we just make I feel like when it comes to the work, we're good at setting routine. Like we say like, okay, I have to do this today, or I know I have to do a bunch of things. But if you add family into the routine, then it's just habit for you to prioritize them, for you to give them the time of day, because it's routine. And as you keep doing it, it's just something you don't even think about doing. You just naturally do it. So I really like that idea of turning it into a routine.
Yeah, that really helps. And I'm a very routine-oriented person. And so I try to turn those things into routines. And like Saturdays, one Saturday a month, I do something one-on-one with my daughter. And one Saturday a month, I do something one-on-one with my son. And sometimes it's a Friday. Like if we're going to go see like Solo, it's just coming out the weekend, we're recording this. So that's something that I'll do with my son. And so, yeah, but being very conscious about it and planning for it so that you can make those part of your routine.
And I really do like that message of the routine. And with that in mind, I would like to shift back to the podcasting because you've helped a lot of people in there and you've learned a lot about podcasting throughout your journey. And you've also come across so many people who do have podcasts who are at different levels. And I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from having a successful, profitable podcast?
Well, I think profitable can be defined in different ways. We have right now, we have a client list that's between 80 and 90 clients from all over the world, most of them in the US and Canada. But when we bring a new client on and we're talking about, especially if it's one that's going through a launch, where we're literally there with them from day one of their podcast, one of the questions we ask them during that kind of onboarding process is, how do you define success for your podcast? And that's an important distinction, because not every podcaster defines success the same way. And I don't know if it's surprising or not, but I would say it's one out of every 20, maybe even one out of every 30 that defines success by monetary achievement. For the vast majority, at least of the clients that we work with, they define success by impacting people's lives or by making relationships and enlarging their network or by sharing knowledge that they have acquired over their lifetime, those sorts of things. So I think it's important for any podcaster to take a moment and define what would make your podcast successful. What's the purpose of your podcast? A podcast should not be your first entry point to making a contact with a person. It can be, but what I'm saying is you should first have a website. You should first have a business model. You should first have, you know, social media accounts. You should first have other things, webinars or white papers or blog posts or, you know, services and books and things like that that you have out there in order to build your brand, to build your website, and to build your name. And then a podcast is a great way to funnel people into that. And that's where we see the most success, where people are taking their podcast and using it as a way to help spread the word about what they're doing, to build relationships with people, to earn trust with people, to establish authority in their niche, and those sorts of things. And again, over and over, we see if people are looking to find or to define success by establishing relationships or by impacting people's lives in a positive way, then that's easy to achieve through a podcast. But if you're going to define success by I'm going to earn, you know, six figures by selling ads on my podcast, that's extremely hard to do and takes a really long time. That's not easy, and nor is it fast. So I would just caution against that type of mentality.
And I like how you mentioned that success for a podcast is different for different people. I mean, some people do use it for the relationship building, and like sometimes the podcast isn't the direct source of revenue. Sometimes it's just indirect. Sometimes just learn so much from it. And you just have like the people on your show, you just want to interview as many people as possible. So it, like, success is different for each person, but as you mentioned, we should be define success before we go all in for something like a podcast, just to have an idea of what we're striving to do. And throughout any journey, there's going to be like several challenges throughout the way. And it was interesting to hear that you almost lost, like you nearly went out of business in 2015, just a few years ago, and now you're doing very well. You have 80 to 90 clients, as you mentioned before. Can you talk with us a little bit about, like, how you were able to flip that around and be able to now have this growing business?
Yeah. So when I first left my corporate job in May of 2013, it was obviously a huge decision. You don't leave, and I had been at that job for almost 19 years. So that was not an easy or a quick decision for me to do that. And before I did that, I consulted with a lot of friends, family, professionals in various fields to get their opinion. When I start doing this, should I piggyback this on my podcast network name, which is Golden Spiral Media, or should I launch this as a brand new brand? And it was about 50-50 that said, do it as Golden Spiral Media. And generally the reason for doing that, the reason for making that decision or offering that opinion was that Golden Spiral Media was already a well-known, well-established brand. If I start a new company, then I have to start from scratch, and that's harder to do. And at the end of the day, I decided to do it as Golden Spiral Media. And I picked up a few clients here and there. I initially earned one massive client through Cliff. I mentioned Cliff Ravenscraft earlier. You know, he and I developed a really good relationship over the years through various things that we worked. What was started there is me calling into his Lost podcast. We actually ended up having, and we still have a really good friendship. But he actually helped me land my first client, and it was a massive client. When that client ended up shuttering their podcast network in 2014, then I lost about 70% of my revenue. And I struggled over the next 6 months to find any new clients. I landed three in the spring of 2014. And then from June or May of 2014, all the way through the summer, not a single client, not a single one. And I was really struggling trying to figure out why. And again, going back and questioning that decision, should I have started this as a separate brand? And the moment of clarity, or the aha moment, as a lot of people would say, came when through a referral from Cliff, her name was Linda. And Linda and I met, and she said, hey, you know, Cliff sent me to you as a potential person to help me with my podcast. But when I look at Golden Spiral Media, I see all these podcasts about sci-fi shows, and I see this one link that talks about editing podcasts for people, and I'm confused. I'm looking for somebody who's serious about this and does this full time. Is this your full time job? And I said, yeah, it is my full-time job. This is how I put food on my table for my family. And she said, okay, well, that wasn't clear on your website, and that's fine. And I, you know, Linda became a client. But that was really the moment where I realized I needed to be clearer on my branding. So in September, I took some time and I really focused on what would the new brand name be and the whole thing. And in October of 2014, we launched Pro Podcast Solutions as a standalone brand for what we do now: podcast production, show notes, launching podcasts, the whole nine yards. And that was the turning point. So we had saved money in our, you know, savings account while we had that big client. But once he, you know, like I said, closed up shop, the next 6 to 8 months, we were living out of our savings account. I had a little bit of revenue coming in from those clients I had picked up, but we were paying most of our bills through our savings account. And in December of 2014, we had just enough left in the savings account to cover that month's expenses. We did not have enough left to cover January based on the amount of revenue that we were earning and the expenses that we knew were going to be coming in. And so I don't know what would have happened in January of 2015. We may have had to go to the bank and get a loan, or talk to my in-laws about getting a loan, or I might have had to get a part-time job. We would have figured that out. Fortunately, we did have a few options. But the more important thing is, once we launched Pro Podcast Solutions in October of 2014, I immediately started landing new clients. We landed three new clients in November and December, and those turned into paying clients in January. And for the first time in 8 months, we were black. We were in the black in January of 15. So the thing that turned the corner for us was being intentional and clear about our branding.
And that's really, like, it's interesting how it was just getting clear on the brand. I feel like that's simple advice that just seems common sense, but common sense isn't always common practice. So it is interesting how, like, just doing that simple thing, like just creating a clear brand, people could understand it, people weren't confused about the website layout, was the big difference maker for you getting the clients that you got.
Yeah, and branding isn't just your logo and your color scheme, which is what a lot of people think of when they think of a brand. But your branding is much more than that. It's, and I'm not a professional or marketing pro or anything like that. But from my experience, your brand is what you're communicating to people. So when they come to my website, what message are they receiving? How is it being communicated? What language am I using? What medium am I using? I'm using video and images. You see my picture, my front and center, and you push play on a video and I'll talk to you. So you get a chance to kind of get a feel for who I am and what we do. And I list all of my team and their pictures are there. And so we're really just trying to create that idea that when you sign up for Pro Podcast Solutions, you're not just signing into some ambiguous person who you never know or what they look like or don't even know who they really are. Here's who we are. Here's what we're about. Here are the clients that we work with. Here's what we do for you. And so just trying to communicate that clearly was a big game changer for us.
And I mean, I could definitely see how it's a game changer. Just like hearing the way you're describing it now, it just seems so much more clear. Like I already knew what Pro Podcast Solutions was about because before the show I had to do some research, but like for someone who like initially is just seeing like some sci-fi podcast and then there's something in the corner versus the way you described it now, it's definitely a lot more clear than it was before.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I want to explore is I feel like a lot of people, especially everyone listening to the podcast, is really focused on learning as much as possible, self-education. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive effect on us.
Well, I can tell you about three books that have positively impacted me. When I first started thinking about leaving my corporate job, the book that impacted me the most was Platform by Michael Hyatt. Now, it's several years old now, but it's still really good. Hopefully your listeners are already following Michael Hyatt. If not, definitely should be following Mike. He's got so much wisdom and knowledge that he just spills out all over the place. But Platform from Michael Hyatt was the first book that really impacted me. A book that impacted me last year, the best book that I read as I was looking to really transform my business and kind of take it up to the next level. And last year, we grew our business by 100% year over year. And we've had really good growth. We since we launched Pro Podcast Solutions, we grew 40%, then we grew 70%, then we grew up by 100%. So we've had really good growth each year. Last year, one of the books that really helped me kind of hone in on some things and figure out where to spend my time and how to identify the parts of my business that need the most attention and bring back the most value. That's a book called The 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall. So to me, again, if you're an entrepreneur, that's a book that should be on your bookshelf and you should just read in dog ear and highlight that thing and read it multiple times because there's a lot of wisdom in that book. So 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall. So far this year, my favorite book that I've read is called The Big Leap, and that one's by Gay Hendricks. That's a book for me that it helped me identify some limitations that I was putting on myself. So interesting. I have really good relationships with my clients, and one of them is an entrepreneur. She lives up in South Dakota, and I reached out to her and I said, "Hey, I've seen you're growing your business. Here's kind of where I'm at in my business. What kind of advice would you give?" And she said, "You need to read The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks." So I did, and I'm glad she turned me on to it. My big takeaway from that is Gay talks about four hidden barriers that he says he's counseled with thousands of people over his lifetime as a counselor, and without fail, every single person has at least one of these four hidden barriers. Sometimes they have more than one, but without fail, every person has one of these hidden barriers. And for me, the barrier that I have that I've been placing on myself is called the crime of outshining. And that is the idea, and sometimes we don't even realize it, and I didn't until I read it, but that is the idea of I'm going to self-limit my success so that I don't outshine this person. And that might be a friend or a relative, or and the motivation for doing that might be different. You might say, I don't want to exceed what my dad did. He was my hero. Or I don't want to exceed my brother because he struggles in life and I don't want to be the over-favored child, or, you know, whatever that limitation is. And so just identifying what that kind of hidden barrier or hidden ceiling that I'd placed on myself was, once I identified it, then I could then kind of come up with a plan of attack to removing that from my life and removing that from my mentality. So that's The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Daryl, thank you for sharing those great books. For anyone who wants the links to those books in the show notes, those will be at markguberti.com/E185. And if you guys want a book that will help you create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue, you can get my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markguberti.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Daryl, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
You know, I would say always be checking yourself and just ask yourself, is what I'm doing right now the best thing that I could be doing? And that's a simple question, but it's easy to get distracted in today's world. It's easy to get shiny object syndrome and go, oh, this is such a good idea. I'm going to start working on this. If we'll just take time to stop, think, filter, and ask yourself, is this the best thing, the best use of my time? Is there something more important? Again, going back to family and stuff like that. So just ask yourself, is this the best thing for me to be doing right now? Then I think a lot of, you know, our frustrations and challenges in life can be answered with that question.
Daryl, thank you for sharing with us that great question and for sharing all of your insights throughout our time on episode 185. And for anyone who wants to learn more about Daryl, head over to Pro Podcast Solutions. That link will be in the show notes. And I think you also wanted to, did you want to share like a URL earlier that like had helpful videos or something like that?
Sure. If your folks want to head over to propodcastsolutions.com/breakthrough, then I've got some great videos over there. If you're looking to start a podcast, maybe you're an existing podcaster and maybe you need some help with some equipment or just trying to figure out how to avoid some of the early pitfalls that podcasters make. I've got some videos over there that I think you'll find helpful. So that's over at propodcastsolutions.com/breakthrough. And there's also a place there where you can set up a time to chat with me if you'd like. And I always love talking with podcasters or prospective podcasters.
Daryl, thank you for sharing those great resources with us. Definitely check those out. That link will be in the show notes. And thank you again for sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure being here.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn